What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What the hell do you have to lose? You have to lose. You have to lose.
Mr. Trump is so stupid. My God, my God.
We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated.
We ought to have a prayer called the goddamn it prayer. God damn them to hell, please.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
But you know what? You don't impeach people when they're doing a good job.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Well, it's Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Crab Diving Live, hurtling at you from Pensacola, Florida. The Redneck Riviera, USOA, a little bit after 2 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, a little bit after 5 if you're listening to us live in the eastern type area of the United States. However you're listening to us, we appreciate the crap out of it. You may be listening to us as a rerun on the Crab Diving Network, streaming free 24-7, or maybe you've down and, God, I'm really fucking things up here. You've gone and done downloaded us as a podcast at your favorite podcasting application or at crabdiving.com.
Gaseous balls.
Might want to see somebody about that.
Is he dead or not?
Nah,
okay.
I don't think so.
Right.
Pat okay. Robertson's still with us.
Great job.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for your listening time and downloads and shit. And your emails and your Twitters and your DMs and all that shit.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Fuck yes.
We try to get to them.
Right, absolutely.
And thanks for buying shit through our Amazon portal. If you go to crabdiving.com/Amazon, every time you want to buy something from Amazon, we get a little commission, and it doesn't cost you fuck all.
We get paid, baby!
Masturbation, sadomasochistic abuse.
What's that guy up to?
Clifford? Really?
No, I mean that he took this on. Why take this cause on?
Well, he was really upsetty pants about it because it was encouraging kids to fornicate and touch each other's genitalia.
So the guy makes a list of things that you might put in your rectum or something, and that could possibly
be... They were trying
be...
to decriminalize two 15-year-olds sending pictures of their nethers to each other on their smartphones.
Yeah, yeah.
So that these kids would not have to have sex offender registrations for the rest of their lives with an amendment they put in there. And this guy lost his mind because he thought it should be criminalized in general.
Yes. Okay.
And then you're allowing them.
But they're two dumb fucking 15-year-olds.
So he's basically saying, look at what you're allowing them to send to each other.
Oh, my God. What do you think 15-year-olds are saying to each other anyway?
Ooh.
And doing and all this
other... Worse, much worse than what
God.
He's saying.
Please, kids are disgusting, okay? And this is just I'm just saying this is an odd cause to take up. I mean, are you equally concerned that children in your district have food and shelter and good health care? You know, I'm just saying.
He's outraged.
If you're going to be concerned about this, then you should make sure all those kids have health insurance, right?
Well, not the brown ones. Tweet us during the show if you want to contact us at Crab Diving, CRABDIVING.
Yes.
And you can also join us on our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/
Crab Diving.
We never are on MySpace, which is weird because... God, this podcast has been around a long fucking time. No, our show. We never had a crab diving face.
No,
MySpace.
The show's not that old.
It's pretty old, but damn. Friendster.
Right. And downloading illegal music from Napster.
That's right, Pat.
So, let's see what's going on.
this lovely Wednesday, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Patrick Vile.
My name's Ryan Pfeiffer, and Pat brought up Napster, so I'm just going to say real quick. Back in the day, from one of those free horrible download services, I found a recording of Jon Bon Jovi doing a live version of Living on a Prayer. And there's a talk up. You know what a talk up is?
Sure.
What is that? It's like when you're just talking before the song starts.
Yes.
And you're a rock star and
you're working the crowd doing that.
Right. And I guess Jon Bon Jovi does.
Giving everybody a yeah. chance to take a sip of water in the band.
Jon Bon Jovi gives people Maybe. Plenty of time.
Papa Benzo.
Yes, yes. He gives you plenty of time to shove a Sudafed up your asshole. He talks a lot. He has a lot of talk ups, right?
Well, right, yeah.
But I found a recording off one of these download services back in the day of Jon Bon Jovi singing Living on a Prayer, but the talk up he talks, it's a real heartfelt speech he gives about Ross Perot and how we should all go vote for him.
Oh.
In November.
Well, there you go.
Jon Bon Jovi gives to charities, and he seems like he's not a guy that you see arrested for like kiddie porn. He's not a Jared at a Subway.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think Ross Perot was a little more of a libertarian-y than Trump. Like Trump ran to the right, but Ross Perot was like, I don't think gave a shit about a lot of these social issues. I was an infant at the time.
See, Jon Bon Jovi gives a fuck about social issues, big time.
Well, right. So that could have been it. That he was like, we need someone to go in there and shake
right.
things up.
Yeah,
might have been. You know, he may have been sharing some illicit drugs with.
A contemporary, like
his guitarist.
Jon Bon Jovi's guitarist. I have no fucking idea, man.
Oh my
man.
God,
the guy that plays guitar for Bon Jovi is that. You know, should we know who Jon Bon Jovi's guitarist is?
Of course,
no, not fucking of course. It's not Valerie Bertinelli's kid or husband, right? That's Van Halen.
It's Eddie Van Halen.
I have space for one Eddie Van Halen slash. Right? I mean, who's better?
Richie Sambora.
Okay, now that's a big star.
Right.
Well, if anybody from New Jersey is mad at us, please send hate mail to @vileexperience.
So I can't find that video of Bon Jovi talking about Ross Perot.
Richie Sambora, didn't Coldplay steal his shit? That's Coldplay song that goes...
Was that with the one they sued about?
Yeah, and it's Richie Sambora's song, right?
I don't know.
Shit, man. Fuck your facts.
Fuck your facts.
Tommy used to work on the docks. He went on strike. He's down on his luck. It's too
Jon Bon Jovi looks like, I mean, it's to me, it's a crazy thing because he'll end up like, I don't know, some crooner from back in the day or something. You know, he's going to end up like, who's the guy with
you
the
think
piano?
He's going to get a room in Vegas or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or?
Who's the guy in the...
I don't think he made a lot of money. I don't know. Yeah. He might just be like, fuck it.
No, he'll be like that guy with the piano that was famous. He did the, a bunch of albums, a bunch of real cheesy albums. And,
not helping.
No. And played in Vegas and was known for wearing crazy fucking outfits.
Liberace?
Yeah, he's going to be like Liberace.
Holy shit.
God, I can't believe you couldn't get Liberace. The guy that plays the piano.
We'd be awful on Password or whatever game show was.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got down Bon Jovi Lane.
Well,
let's see what's going on in the headlines. It's a fascinating day.
You know, John Bon Jovi should not have been allowed by ASCAP to have that key change because white people just like that shit too much. And Living on a Prayer, it's the most gratuitous key change ever. I mean, it's
the whoa.
Why do that, man? These white people love the shit out of that song.
They do.
But tyrant John Bon Jovi is not. He's like, not enough. I need more love from white people.
Wanted
put that
dead
key
or
change.
Alive. They like that one.
Dead or alive.
I love that one.
That was a song for the great Brat Pack Dynasty, Young Guns 1 and Young Guns 2.
Oh, wow.
Starring Queefer. Queefer was in that.
Ancient history, yeah.
Emilio.
Sure.
Charlie Sheen. Perhaps you've heard of him. Is in that movie.
His brother. Emilio's brother,
that's right,
Charlie.
That's right. Right. What was Martin Sheen up to, man? I mean, as a dad, I'm just wondering. He seems like he made a good president in West Wing, but...
There were probably issues.
And there must have been, right? I mean, because his son is strange as fuck.
Yeah, and Emilio's kind of odd, too, I think. From what I done heard.
Right, right. I guess it's kind of odd, and then, like, owning some castle in the middle of the woods...
Well, they're
screaming about tiger's blood.
Yeah, right.
Like, here's seven porn stars I really like. I have them in the back.
Doing mountains of coke.
Jesus Christ.
Off of some supermodel.
Yeah, where's the bathroom? To the left of the mountain of coke.
Past the third passed out supermodel.
Make sure they're alive.
The headline over at the Commie Pinko Liberal Huff Post. Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is definitely popcorn time. So Bolton,
you know, it's just what's happening right now. If you can't see in the studio, which if you can, you shouldn't be, you're a perv or something. You're at the window. The dog is just digging into the floor, just scratching, making a news over and over again. And all we do here is sit here and talk about Bon Jovi, but we think we're talking about politics. This is the weirdest fucking, it's a weird show. Very strange.
President Donald Trump. So now, yesterday they tried to file. Oops.
We need to put a mic on the scratching because if you're going to do the scratching, we might as well fucking use it because I don't think people can fucking hear it.
Well, if there was a way that we could isolate her during the show on camera, I'd do that. I just don't want to be on camera. I don't want to give a fuck about what I look like anymore.
Right.
I like the radio aspect.
Yeah. Wear a mask.
Oh, great.
Like you're supposed to in public.
So yesterday, the DOJ was filing a lawsuit, which, what the fuck is the DOJ getting involved in this Bolton book shit?
I don't know, Pat.
When they've, Bolton's, even the person that was in charge of, that the White House sent to go through the book and get rid of everything that she felt was classified.
Yes.
When she was done with that, and she signed off on it and was waiting for some final authorization.
Right.
And that was not forthcoming. So finally, Bolton's peeps called them and was like, hey, what up? And they said, oh, there's so much more that's classified in here that you guys, you're not complying at all. And yeah. Then Trump yesterday, the day before, literally said, you know, I think every conversation that I have with anybody is classified. I deem it classified.
He's Tony Soprano.
Right.
He's shitty Tony Soprano in the White House. Tony Soprano was effective. Was more effective. I don't think Tony Soprano's methods were good. They were just. And what he was doing was not good or just. But he was doing
like
something.
Trump.
not good or just.
You know, hey, Kim, say what you want about him. He's a strong leader.
Right. I'm going to get some oxys. God, he sounded fucking... buzzed.
He supported the Chinese beating the shit out of the people in Tiananmen Square back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he sounded fucked up, though, yesterday, right?
Well, yeah, it was more he sounded,
he sounded like he was on opioids.
It was more of a down day than an up day.
Kind of heroin, you know. Lortab heavy.
So, but it's kind of too late because the books are already, the press galleys have already been sent out.
Yeah.
Where you don't get the fancy cover and the dust cover. You get, you know, you probably get an e-file or something to send to your Kindle to read it. And it's out now.
I bet
they're already writing about it. The New York Times is already like, oh my, OMG. All the headlines everywhere. Everything on Twitter that is trending right now has to do with
what's coming out in this book. It's out. The book is out. There's nothing you can do about it, dickheads. It's done. We all know. What are we going to learn in that book that's going to make it?
Oh, well.
There's nothing in that book you're going to learn that you're going to be like, oh my God.
Nothing is going to surprise us. One of the big ones is.
Yes.
President Donald Trump asked Chinese President Xi Jinping to help him win re-election in 2020 by buying agricultural products from certain U.S. states, Bolton writes in his new tell-all book.
What a complicated thing. So he needs, he's like,
I'm going to give you a list of states that I need you to buy from.
Nevada, I want you to go get me a pint of okra.
I need you to visit a lot of hookers in Vegas, get the economy there going.
See, our government just is moving in an odd way to an odd place in a fucked up manner.
Moved.
Yeah.
During a group of 20 summit meeting in Japan last summer, Trump was, quote, pleading with Xi to ensure he'd win, Bolton writes in an excerpt of the book, published Wednesday in the Wall Street... Oh, it was the Wall Street Journal. I said New York Times.
What meeting? He's at a meeting. Forgive me. He's at a meeting in China with a bunch of...
In Japan.
Okay, with a bunch of VIPs.
Yeah.
And then he just shouts out that his agenda is, I want China to get me reelected, goddammit. He says this?
Well, yeah, I guess. When they were alone, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in smaller a group groups. Of 20. Oh,
well,
okay.
It was at the meeting.
Oh, right.
You know, he's there for the whole couple of days.
Oh, I get it. So they're at the meeting. They're hanging out.
Trump's like, gee, let's talk.
There's a break. Trump's probably got his fecal-covered mitts, you know, in one of those bowls of breath mints. You know, the different colored ones, the pink, blue, pastel-colored mints, just in there. He's like, gee.
I love Japan. They gave me a sex doll that looks like 14-year-old Ivanka.
We need 10,000 units of these.
Small size, please.
G, will you help me get reelected?
Extra snug, if you know what I mean.
Trump was pleading with Xi to ensure he'd win.
You stretched out my rubber love doll.
Trump stressed the importance of farmers and, quote, increased Chinese purchases of soybeans and wheat.
Jeez.
From the book, Trump's conversations with Xi reflected not only the incoherence in his trade policy, but also the confluence in Trump's mind of his own political interests and U.S. national interests. Trump commingled the personal and the national, not just on trade questions, but across the whole field of national security. I am hard pressed to identify any significant Trump decision during my White House tenure that wasn't driven by re-election calculations.
Wow. Okay. Hard pressed. So Trump is like,
none of us are shocked.
Right. And also I do think it's weird that Trump is treating this country like the vegetable department at Walmart. It's like, go get some peppers from Idaho.
Right.
Send out some peas from California.
But it's
how does
like,
he even know?
Because I want to make sure the manager of the P department likes me.
Yeah.
And helps me win.
It's weird. I know a guy that has squash and I want a favor from.
Not the kind of P department I'm used to, if you know what I mean.
The ones I appreciate.
Not the Russian P department.
It has to be Russian. do you think it was like.
I like a whiff of vodka.
Those are Ukrainian hookers.
The anecdote is one of several startling revelations reportedly made in Bolton's highly anticipated book, The Room Where It Happened, set to be released June 23rd. That is 6 days from now.
And damn! They say
we're fucking releasing it.
What are we getting? Are we getting a press copy? No one gives a fuck about us. Crab Diving doesn't get a copy we can read ahead of time so we can be a little bit more informed when we talk about this fucking book.
I'll probably get mine on Audible.
Oh, shit,
listen,
Pat.
Listen to it.
All right.
Well, I'm on an intern walk or something.
Right.
Oh, she's face deep inside of a moose.
Jesus Christ.
The moose toy is gutted and
de-squeakered. That dog is fucking violent, man.
Trump also encouraged Xi to build camps to imprison Uyghur Muslims in China.
What the fuck?
Bolton said that Xi told Trump during a 2019 G20 meeting that he was, quote, basically building concentration camps to detain the Uyghurs.
Yes.
Trump said that Xi should go ahead with building camps, which Trump thought was exactly the right thing to do.
Oh, my God. So, like, let me understand something. So these days, world leaders, for the main part, they're deciding where to shuffle the prisoners around to.
Well, no, not the good ones.
Well, Muslims, right?
Well, right. God. Obama would have said, you're not doing that. If you do that, we're not trading with you. We're going to impose sanctions on you if you build concentration camps for the Uyghurs.
Why? Because it's wrong?
Exactly.
Jeez.
Trump is like, do it to the fuckers, those fucking Muslims.
Could you imagine Trump is making a decision to put people in a prison camp?
Josh Barrow, he's a journalist, former Republican. I don't know if he officially left the Republican Party, but he was a never Trumper, and then he's just like, I can't do this anymore.
A Trumper, but then a never Trumper.
I think he was Trump curious.
Oh, I see.
At the beginning.
Yes.
And then was like, oh, this is really not going well.
God, you Trump curious people. Thank you so much for killing us.
Business columnist for New York Magazine.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other shit. Josh Barrow, all he tweeted was, oh, my God.
About the book? With
this excerpt that says, at the opening of the dinner with only interpreters present, Xi had explained to Trump why he was basically building concentration camps in Xinjiang. According to our interpreter, Trump said that Xi should go ahead with building the camps, which Trump thought was exactly the right thing to do.
Who the fuck wants camps?
The National Security Council's top Asia staffer, Matthew Pottinger, told me that Trump said something very similar during his November 2017 trip to China.
China, they have the potential to have some really nice concentration camps. I'm just like, if that's what our leaders are doing around this planet, all they're doing is figuring out where to put Jewish people, Muslim people, brown people in camps. I mean, what does it matter? What is the purpose of all of this then? This is a sad fucking thing.
It's, yeah.
God.
There's some sadness going on.
Burn this thing to the motherfucking ground. Burn it. God.
It's not looking good for them in November.
Hey, what are we learning? What are we fucking learning? If you want to get changed.
The shitstorm we thought was going to happen is worse than we ever expected it to be.
I mean, I was going a totally different
going
way.
More existential?
Yes, but. We had all this time with Obama, right? Do you think our country progressed as far as it should have?
No. But it did progress.
Right, it did. It did.
And a lot of things got better, and a lot of things had to be baby steps because of that large colon blockage that's roughly Mitch McConnell shaped.
Yeah.
And we could have had some great shit.
Well, but what are we learning, though? The most effective way to get progressive shit is to go out burn their shit to the fucking ground.
I mean, how else protests? Yes.
They're taking out the cops.
Riots, no.
They took out the cops. Yes. You don't think that...
Riots, no.
Let me tell you something. Yes. If you're the mayor of Minneapolis, I'm not saying... Listen, right. All that's true.
We're finding out that a lot of the they the burnt down that police department. A lot of it was started by the the fucking right-wingers.
Oh, yeah, I saw some story about a boogaloo shooting some cops.
I'm going to do that story. The guy, the cop that I think got killed, sadly. The name that they keep saying, well, don't you care about? And they name this cop when you know you ever say, hey, we support the protesters. Oh, you don't care about this cop? We got killed, murdered. It turns out this guy was like a boogaloo.
Oh, good.
A right-winger who's hoping there's about to be a violent civil war and is eagerly trying to have that happen.
And that is that the guy in Oakland?
I'm finding the story.
Because
right
it could be a few. You know, the really creepy thing about that story is I'm just reading through this fucking thing, and it's like I skipped down further because I saw the words bloody scrawled hood of the car shit, and I was like, okay, here's a detail I give a fuck about. Oh my god.
For as long as nationwide Black Lives Matter protests began gathering momentum, there were rumors of infiltration of the protests by outside groups. Much of the focus at first was placed on alleged anarchist or anti-fascist groups destroying public or corporate property. But as the massive protests stretched into their fourth week, attention has shifted to extremist libertarian and far-right groups using the protests as cover to incite a race war.
Why not? I'm sorry. Why is the author bullshitting us and not including white supremacists? Because that's a fucking factor.
Well, that's in there. Far-right.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, federal authorities charged Air Force Staff Sergeant Stephen Carrillo with murder and attempted murder in the fatal shooting of a federal security officer outside of a federal courthouse in Oakland on May 29th. Washington Post reports Carrillo is a, quote, boogaloo boy, a decentralized and extremist movement comprising mostly young white men. It says in parentheses here, surprise.
Matt Gaetz voters.
Who are advocating for a second civil war.
Oh,
while there is a range of political ideologies in the movement, some are blatant white supremacists.
Yay!
Eager to kick off a race war, while others are more libertarian in their beliefs.
Okay, number one, I want to apologize.
Slightly
to
less
author.
Racist.
I thought you weren't going to mention the race thing, and it was bothering me. You did there, so I'm an idiot. And you know these Democrats.
And this is the root.
Oh, this is the root. Oh God, I'm a cunt. I'm so sorry, man. I go to that website every fucking day. I like it, and you know, I didn't know you were reading from the root, man. Shit, I'm sorry. That sucks.
Where they are aligned is in their desire to overthrow the government.
Yeah. And the root is funny, too.
They first began getting nationwide attention during the COVID-19 social distancing protests where they dressed up in Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
And whined very loudly about government overreach during the pandemic.
Oh, shit.
Libertarian and white supremacist groups being who they are, they also attended those protests heavily armed.
You know, here's what I came to a conclusion about what the Democrats have to do. If any Democrats are listening, this is what we have to do. We have to use our white skin and do a thing where you protect these people burning the shit to the ground in the streets so we can have things like we want, like we can reform police.
But burning the shit down isn't what's getting it done. It's the protest.
Yeah. Well, right. But they're getting all this shit, you know, that works. This works. Going out in the street works.
I'm still saying general strikes would be a kick in the tiny little stones.
And that's better for COVID, right? Because you just stay home.
Right.
God, Jesus sucks.
Authorities investigating Carrillo tracked the 32-year-old's online activity prior to the Oakland protests last month, according to the FBI. He ambushed two security officers, injuring one, killing the other.
Who is this fucking wacko?
With some guy named Robert Alvin Justice Jr., the confessed getaway driver.
Do you think these people that do shit like this, Do you think these white supremacists are operating like, what's their reading level and their reading comprehension level? I mean, are they, do they truly understand what they're doing, or are they dumb as fuck?
From a group chat with Justice and one other person on referring to a YouTube video that showed a crowd of protesters attacking two California Highway Patrol videos, he wrote, this is the guy that's in jail for murder.
Yeah.
It's on our coast now. This needs to be nationwide. It's a great opportunity to target the specialty soup boys. Keep that energy going. Let's boogie.
Specialty soup boys. What is that?
Soup boys has been used in Boogaloo memes to refer to the alphabet soup of federal law agencies. The FBI, the ATF, the FPS, right. Federal Protective Services.
I thought these people hated people of color more than
some
anything.
Of them do.
Okay, but they also hate cops.
Some of them, yeah. There's bleed over.
The Boogaloos to me are like, they're anarchists, or they just...
They want a fascist kind of a right wing.
They're not
strong
Nazis.
Leader. Facebook messages show that Justice and Carrillo plan to use nearby protests as a distraction, knowing the police resources would be focused on preventing rioting and looting.
Okay, great, good job, Schittler. And you know these guys voted for Trump, probably, right? These Boogaloo fucks.
God, it took over a week to get the guy.
Jeez.
Before he was apprehended, he shot and killed a police officer, Santa Cruz County Sergeant Damon Gutzwiller, and critically injured another sheriff's deputy.
Yeah. Good God. These Boogaloos need to get there. I mean, come on. Ugh.
There you go. But he's a Boogaloo.
Do you think that's on somebody's list at the FBI? Get the Boogaloos? Do something about them?
I would hope. I don't think it's as much of a priority as it may be.
Because they sound organized. They sound organized, and they're the kind of wackos that could do some crazy act of domestic terrorism. It's Trump's false flag.
He just did.
Yeah. What am I talking about? What the fuck am I talking about?
He had a getaway driver.
That's crazy. I would watch that movie.
He took out a cop, a security guard, and injured another cop and another security guard.
And these guys are organized. We've heard about their communication network and things. They have little signs for each other.
Bolton also writes that Trump was willing to intervene in Justice Department investigations into Chinese and Turkish companies to curry personal favor with the country's autocratic leaders.
No shit! Okay, does that shock you?
I'll make those investigations for you guys go away.
You see, I think most presidents...
It's the Sopranos. He must have watched every season of The Sopranos and been like, that's how I want to run things.
It's crazy that people think Obama operated in a similar fashion. Because they obviously do.
But they obviously... He was a wonk. He was...
But they obviously think that Obama looked at the planet like Trump does. I mean, they say... All of them say, well, he's better than Obama. A lot of them say that.
Well, yeah, because they think...
Do you think Obama's talking to Xi and is like,
there's
you know...
that black stain.
Yeah. He's like, hey, Xi, congrats on that new concentration camp.
They can't handle the fact that a black man was a really good president.
Right.
And is beloved.
Yeah.
It's still...
That bothers them a lot.
Bothering them a lot.
Because it disproves their narrative,
mediocre,
right?
Mediocre white people. Yeah. Mediocre in the brain. There's nothing wrong with not being rich and famous.
Yeah. It's they're just scary, these Boogaloos. That's all.
Trump also claimed that he fired Bolton, but Bolton said this is not true and that he was never directly or indirectly asked to resign. He resigned himself amid disagreements with Trump on certain foreign policy issues, including North Korea.
Yeah. How does a guy with John Bolton's personality get into politics anyway? I mean, have you ever heard the guy talk?
He's a dick.
Yeah, he doesn't exude a lot of person. I mean, is he so brilliant? Is that why he's in our government all the time or something?
Yeah, he was one of our first major embarrassments at the UN.
Yeah, he John
was our
Bolton.
He was our when Bush put him in there.
Oh God, I'm gonna put John Bolton in there.
No one's gonna push us around anymore.
He's gonna get real mad and tell people suck my dick or whatever that means. God,
George Bush knows what that means.
Yeah, he does.
He was a drinking Coke user, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then he found Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I love. I love a guy that was a drug addict and decided the thing he needed to do to stop doing drugs is to believe in something in the sky, and then I want that guy to be president. That would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Over the Drudge Report.
Yay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 headlines about the Bolton book.
Yes.
All in red.
Right, right.
Bolton book bombshells. Look at the alliteration.
Shit.
Trump is a, quote, liar. Shocker. Next one says, ask G for re-election help. We already talked about that. Okayed concentration camps. We talked about that.
I, you know, man, I'm watching this show, The Hunted, or The Hunt on Amazon Prime. It's in the 70s, and Al Pacino plays a leader of these guys that go out and kill Nazis hiding in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They fuck these people up big time. And, but they have all these flashbacks, to the Holocaust. And mm-hmm. these Nazis are crazy motherfuckers. They are horrible. And those camps.
Oh, yeah.
Who in the fuck would even entertain that idea? This when Trump says, oh, yeah, go ahead and make your concentration camps, he's not sit there and think, I saw Schindler's List. That was horrible. He doesn't at least have that thought.
He didn't see Schindler's List.
He didn't?
No.
Come on. Everybody saw that. Everybody saw that movie.
The bad guys lose.
Shit, man.
The bad guys win.
Although there is that story that Trump, when he travels, and there's some journalist that was traveling with Trump said that Trump gets one of his kids, like they're watching a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, and he'll make like Eric fast forward through all the exposition to the fight scenes.
And then he smacks Eric.
Yeah, and that's our president. I like Jean-Claude Van Damme movies where they're not talking.
When did he ever watch a movie with his children? That's a lie.
Yeah, that seems weird.
That is a lie.
Why would he spend any time with them? He doesn't. He likes McDonald's, Ivanker, being an authoritarian. I think he likes that now. I really think he's warming up to that.
Bolton said the pattern looked like obstruction of justice as a way of life, which we couldn't accept.
Yes.
Saying that he reported his concerns to Attorney General William Barr.
Oh, shit.
I'm very upset about the shit the president's doing to Barr.
What did that blob of non-human fuckdom?
We'll look into that.
Yeah. It looks like his face is going to swallow his glasses. God, somebody fucks him.
It's
somebody
already the number one bestseller on Amazon, even before it's hit the bookstores with pre-sales.
Yes.
The Justice Department filed a last-minute lawsuit against Bolton this week, seeking to stop the publication.
Okay. Who's reading this Bolton book? Who is reading that? Is Gandalf, can we get someone good reading that? I mean, we're all going to buy this book. And if John Bolton, find somebody good to read the fucking thing. And please, not you. You suck. Oh, God.
Trump apparently did not seem to know that Britain is a nuclear power.
Okay. Like they have nuclear weapons?
And one time asked.
Everybody knows that.
If Finland is part of Russia.
It's not. You know why it's not? Because it's Finland.
It's Finland. He came closer to withdrawing the U.S. from NATO than we previously knew.
I'm sorry. I know the U.K. is a nuclear power based off James Bond movies. Okay.
However you learn it, it's still correct, right?
Doesn't matter. You still figure it the fuck out.
According to the book, during Trump's 2018 meeting with Kim Jong-un, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo slipped Bolton a note disparaging the president, saying he's so full of shit.
Pompeo said that about...
Wrote that.
Oh, shit.
A month later...
Right.
Bolton writes, Pompeo dismissed the president's North Korea diplomacy, declaring that there's zero probability of success.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Did Trump at least have an opportunity to say, listen, Kim, really like what you're doing here with these concentration camps. These are great.
That's Jimmy had to do that.
I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't. Maybe the thing with Kim Jong-un is he doesn't disagree with how he runs things.
Intelligence briefings were a waste of time.
Quote. Telling the president what is happening on the planet is a waste of fucking time. Quote, a waste of time.
Quote, since much of the time was spent listening to Trump rather than Trump listening to the briefers. Trump likes pitting staff members against one another. At one time, he told Bolton that former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson once referred to Nikki Haley, then the ambassador to the United Nations, by a sexist obscenity.
What was it?
It's got to be cunt.
God!
Don't you think?
He said he didn't just say it in the book what it was.
Well, it may. This is a
oh, they can't say.
An excerpt, yeah. A writing about an excerpt.
We are so weird.
An assertion that Bolton seemed to doubt, but found telling that the president would make it. Like, why is he telling, hey, Bolton, did you hear? Nikki, Rex Tillerson totally called Nikki Haley a cunt.
He's a child. He's in high school or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all
He's a mean girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. He is a mean girl.
Trump said so many things that were wrong or false that Bolton, in the book, regularly includes phrases like the opposite of truth.
I'm a mean girl.
Following some quote from the president.
But with a nuclear football.
I'm just trying to see if there's anything else here. This is
Jesus
some
Christ.
Of his history in this. Bolton agreed to become the president's third national security advisor, thinking he understood the risks and limits.
Yeah.
But unlike some of what he calls the axis of adults, he calls Tillerson, former Defense Secretary Mattis, and him, who tried to minimize what they saw as damage of the president's tenure. Bolton sought to use his 17 months in the White House to accomplish policy goals that were important to him, like withdrawing the United States from international agreements he considers flawed, like the Iran nuclear accord. He was way into getting
Bolton
out of that.
Is it okay?
And that nuclear forces treaty that we got out of with the Russians.
So what I'm hearing
is... So he was happy about
that. Trump is into some stuff that you can't even figure out why he's into it, but it's some bullshit that has nothing to do with our interests.
There was overlap.
Yeah, but Bolton has a fucked up ideology. He's trying his agenda.
Right, and there was overlap in the things that Trump wanted to do. That Bolton wanted to get done.
What Bolton's doing is not a lot better. It's not even better. It's just different.
Bolton thought Trump's diplomatic flirtation with the likes of Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin of Russia were ill-advised and foolish, and spent much of his tenure trying to stop the president from making what he deemed bad deals.
Quit telling world leaders secrets, right? Don't you, at some point before you're president, does no one from the CIA or anybody sit down and say, hey, listen, when you're talking to some guy that's in charge of another country, you have to be careful not to say these things.
Yeah.
No one had that talk with Trump.
The book confirms House testimony that Bolton was wary all along of Trump's actions with regard to Ukraine. Provides firsthand evidence of his own that Trump explicitly linked security aid to the investigations of Biden and Clinton.
So why didn't you come testify at the impeachment hearing?
Exactly. On August 20th, Bolton writes, Mr. Trump said he wasn't in favor of sending them anything until all the Russia investigation materials related to Clinton and Biden had been turned over. Bolton writes that he, Pompeo, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, tried 8 to 10 times to get Trump to release the aid.
You know, that's the problem with these Republicans. This Trump is an existential threat, and they obviously don't see it like that. Because what if Bolton's testimony would have turned the tide and got him impeached? Maybe Bolton said something. I mean, it's highly unlikely, right, to get the Republicans to do anything decent. But Maybe. And then maybe we would have Mike Pence, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
At the Group of 20 and meeting in Osaka last summer, he met with Xi on the sidelines. Xi told Trump that unnamed political figures in the United States are trying to spark a new Cold War with China.
Oh, geez.
Trump, quote, Trump immediately assumed Xi met the Democrats. Trump said approvingly, there was great hostility among the Democrats. He then stunningly turned the conversation to the coming U.S. presidential election, alluding to China's economic capability to affect the ongoing campaigns, pleading with Xi to ensure he'd win. That's when he gets to.
So Xi says to Trump, I'm concerned that people in your government want to start a Cold War with us. And then Trump says to Xi, yeah, it's probably the Democrats. Do something to help me win the next election. In nice concentration
Bolton
camps.
Bolton says he would have printed Trump's exact words, but the government's pre-publication review process has decided otherwise.
Hey, Bolton, all the bad shit you've campaigned for your whole fucking life, you nut up and just release it and get arrested.
But this is double money for him.
What do you mean?
Because he's going to put this book out that's been redacted by these crooks, and then the next president's going to come in and unredact all of it.
Oh, God.
Unclassify all of it.
So this motherfucker's
and
getting
paid.
He's
going to get to
unredact
everything that he was forced to take out. So he'll get double book money.
Jesus, that's crazy. Well, I mean, the brilliant thing, though, John, would be Trump is an existential threat. Fuck my book. He's rich, right? John Bolton has enough money.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
Okay. Fuck my book, the deal. Release the book for free. Do something nice for the planet, you Republican fuckhead. And then go offer your testimony.
He's like in the $50,000 a speech range.
Oh my God, you piece of shit. Release the book for free back then. Go testify and tell the country what you saw. And then maybe we don't have so many COVID deaths. Or maybe we do. I don't know. We shouldn't have any reason to think Mike Pence would be better in charge of this.
Correct.
Right? So
we have utterly no reason to believe that Mike Pence would be better.
God, that's not a great testimonial for him in any context.
Hey.
Utterly no reason to think Mike Pence might have been better. No reason to think that. By the way, go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. Whatever you spend, we get a big, fat fucking chunk of.
We do.
Thank you, Mark. No. Who runs Amazon?
Jeff Bezos.
Was justice served in the case of Kelly Flynn.
Fake Pence.
God, and he sucked it as a radio broadcaster, too, just like listening to the little bit he did. Because we know these right-wing nut jobs. I mean, these broadcasters, don't you think we're qualified to have an opinion? I mean, we follow them.
Of course
them
we're qualified.
All the time. And, you
opinion
know,
on everything.
And Brendan Dilley right now is in position
not
one.
Not everything. But,
you know, he's a horrible guy, but he's kind of the most entertaining of all those fuck nuts.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, yeah. He's still, he's funny. Less funny now that he's taking a darker turn, but yeah.
I mean, you know, Alex Jones, he's like one of those amazing pinch hitters in baseball. You could just wake, who's that, Lenny, what's his face up in the middle of the night, and he could hit a double. Like, Alex Jones is always one breath away from the most amazingly crazy clip you've ever heard.
Yes.
So, I don't know. But Mike Pence, I don't know, I just don't see it. I don't see him hanging with those guys. He's very boring.
And just love to know your thoughts, because I for one, believe that the seventh commandment contained in the Ten Commandments still a big deal.
The
it's the most important promise you'll ever make. And holding people accountable to those promises and holding people accountable to respecting the promises that other people make, what could possibly be a bigger deal than that?
I think he's talking about criminalizing adultery.
Oh, yeah. That's insane. God, he's very, and he sounds like this is crazy. He might really believe this shit. He might be a big time believer and not one of these like Jerry Falwell types or a Franklin Graham who's like, look at my dick. They're really into the Jesus.
Who fell into the family snake oil business.
Jeez.
And then he went on to become a representative and then a governor. The governor of Indiana. You guys are great, Indiana. Keep being you.
God damn. I just don't get it. You listen to this guy, and he's no Coach Dave. He's no Rick Wilson. Rick Wiles.
At least it'd be a more entertaining governor.
Oh, yeah,
That drives you into a dystopian hellscape.
Yeah. Our very unentertaining governor just steered us into an AIDS outbreak. It's strange.
Later clip.
And the front page story is that the 500, that no one's showing up for this thing. Then they unearth some photograph of a vendor standing around by himself and then tell me there were 15,000 people here. I'm just saying, you know, to me, it's starting to look like a hatchet job. There were 15,000 people there before breakfast.
Who listens to 15, this shit?
Who estimated that?
What's he talking about?
This is absolutely astounding to me that the largest newspaper in the state of Indiana, the home of the greatest spectacle in racing, would, it is obvious to me.
What is that? The greatest?
The Indy 500.
What, is he kidding me?
Itself against this great homespun sport of the Indianapolis.
I don't know what he's
homespun sport is cars driving real fast in a circle.
It's breakfast.
Dumb shit.
And then tell me there were 15,000 people here. This was the greatest day, as you said yesterday, conference, it seems like. Hello? I haven't missed a race out there in 15 years consecutively. I've been to 20 races. This was the greatest day, as you said yesterday. And the front page story is that the 500, that no one's showing up for this thing.
No, he's outraged that the paper accurately reported the attendance
that
had dropped at the Indy 500.
What if it did? And nobody wanted to fucking go, Mike.
Well, you heard.
Then they unearth some photograph of a vendor standing around by himself and then tell me there were 15,000 people here. I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's starting to look like a hatchet job.
Right. And lots of flat earthers.
It's a conspiracy against the Indy 500.
Lots of flat earthers are agreeing with you.
Mike Pence, everyone.
Yeah.
It's our vice president.
That's right. I love all these religious wackos that are just all over the fucking place. We had John Bolton, who wasn't a religious wacko, but he's just one of these wackos that hates the way the world's set up so much that he wants to start World War III. Get us out of the Iran deal? You know what makes
Finland is trending.
Okay. Why? It needs to be raked again?
Because Trump asked if it was part of Russia.
Yeah.
In Bolton's book.
That's an odd thing to
Bolton
ask.
Bolton is trending.
That's like saying, is that rabbit a cow?
Russia is trending.
Russia.
Also, McMuffin is trending in McGriddle.
Why?
Did you see the... I guess I should play a little bit of the clip. It's... I really thought it was fake, but I don't think it is. It's one of these selfie videos.
Yes.
And it's a woman who is a cop.
Okay.
And I think she's in her cop car. And she's got her costume on.
Okay.
And
her cop costume?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's very, very upset.
Ooh, wee wee.
Okay. This is...
Well, I decided to come to the McDonald's at Love's on the Ford Avenue exit. And I waited in line to get my food. I had already done my mobile order so that, you know, people... don't pay for my stuff because I just always like to pay for it myself. But
what?
I'm on my way home from work.
Because there are people out there who will comp cops.
Oh, okay.
Or
she's
pay
a
for
cop.
Cops.
That's
so
right.
She likes to pay for it on mobile because, you know.
Yeah.
People like to pay for cops.
Back in the day, I had a job at the Evil Coffee Empire and the two cops that used to come in all the time. They never got charged. Not fucking once. My manager said, don't charge those two guys over there. You get a big cinnamon roll each time and a big, large fucking coffee every fucking day.
That's what I'm talking about. Here she goes.
The Ford Avenue exit. And I waited in line to get my food. I had already done my mobile order so that, you know, people don't pay for my stuff because I just always like to pay for it myself. But I'm on my way home from work. When I pull up to the window, they hand me my receipt.
Maybe she's not in her cop car, but okay. She's definitely got her uniform on.
So I go to the second window to get my food, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting.
Okay.
And so the girl comes to the window and asks me what my order was.
Yes.
I repeat my order.
Oh.
And my coffee. Order.
Yes.
And they asked me to pull up because my food's not ready. It's an English muffin meal with a hash brown and coffee.
Right.
Has that ever happened to you at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Or at a drive-in?
Yeah, you know why? Because they're really busy.
Sometimes they're quite busy, and sometimes they need to make more hash browns, or they need to make
I worked at Starbucks, and you know, you go in there. I know a lot of people are thinking, all I'm getting is a latte. Why is it taking so long? Because there's 57 people in line with little variations on what they want.
And people inside.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I worked in the financial district in Chicago, and they're all angry, all white traitors. Not to the country, but traitors.
Trader.
With a D. Yeah. Yes. And those guys didn't wait. They didn't give a fuck.
Oh,
they wanted their shit, and they wanted out. Oh, my God. And this one guy.
Entitled finance cunts.
Dude, this one guy, I guarantee you, you know him. He's every dickbag senior vice president.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, any company. This motherfucker. Because Starbucks put out a brochure. It explains all what's in the coffee and how much foam is on top of a latte. You know how much?
A quarter of an inch.
No, that's wrong.
Oh.
And he knew the right amount. 5/8.
5/8.
5/8 of an inch of foam.
Damn, that's over a half inch.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, do you accurately measure? I mean, am I, what's the guy who makes the
math? Wait, he called you guys out on not having 5/8 of an inch of foam?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Am I Heisenberg?
For overshooting? I'm not too foamy or too little foam?
I am not a lab tech.
What was his complaint? Too little or too much?
It was too much. It was always too much. It was more than 5/8 of an inch. You're getting more foam. I mean, we're talking a negligible amount. He would get two grande lattes. 5/8 of an inch of foam. And one time he got in an argument with my manager. He said, this isn't 5/8 of an inch.
Karen.
You know, and then
a male Karen.
Right.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
Here's this. She's quite a storyteller, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I mean, yeah, man.
And my coffee. Order. And they asked me to pull up because my food's not ready. It's an English muffin meal with a hash brown and coffee. And I mean, I hadn't eaten since I've been up for a very long time, but I haven't eaten in a while. So I was kind of hungry and I'm still waiting and okay. They asked me to pull up. So I pull up forward and a girl comes out with my coffee and just the coffee and she hands it to me and I have my window down. And that's all she hands me is the coffee. So I told her, I said, don't bother with the food because right now I'm too nervous to take it. It doesn't matter how many hours I've been up.
Oh,
it doesn't matter what I've done for anyone. Right now I'm too nervous to take a meal from McDonald's because I can't see it being made.
Because I can't see it being made.
What
They're
is that?
Poisoning us.
Oh, my. The cops?
She's nervous.
Oh,
like those
God.
Assholes in New York who jumped on Shake Shack and said they were poisoned at Shake Shack when it turns out they weren't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was a lie.
Right.
But what I'm learning from this, and what we all should learn, is there are videos of cops shooting people, killing people,
right.
Spraying people like point blank range in the face with fucking
and
mace.
This person is nuts.
Yeah, this person is fucking crazy.
She needs to not have a gun and a badge.
Right.
If she's losing her mind and she's nervous because they like a bunch of other people always have to pull forward because something's God. Going
it
on
just
in the kitchen.
Happens.
She thinks they're fucking with her food now and that she's She's too nervous.
You know, I always think when that happens to me, bonus time. I get to sit in that spot. I'm going to turn up whatever fucking shit I'm listening to really loud, and I'm going to fucking zone out.
Yeah.
I'm going to zone out and just not give a fuck for a few minutes. It's a few minutes. Go work in a McDonald's. They don't have time to poison you. Whoa, she's crazy.
And that's all she hands me is a coffee.
Oh, God.
So I told her, I said, don't bother with the food because right now I'm too nervous to take it.
Your people are killing
us. It doesn't matter how many hours I've been up. It doesn't matter.
Oh, fuck you.
What I've done for anyone. Right now I'm too nervous to take a meal from McDonald's. Because I can't see it being made. I don't know what's going on with people nowadays. But please, just give us a break.
Please give us a break.
I don't know how much more I can take. I've been in this for 15 years, and I've never, ever had such anxiety about waiting for McDonald's drive-thru food. So just have a heart.
How do you think a good black citizen feels when you pull up behind them with the gumballs going on the top of the car and you get out and approach their car? How nervous do you think they feel?
And think of this amazing privilege. She is exuding all this stress because her English muffin didn't arrive with her fucking coffee. You're taught she...
Well, and this is more evidence of why cops need counseling.
Yeah.
Not killing training.
Dude,
they need mandatory counseling because it's a shitty job. It's not the most dangerous job by any stretch of the imagination. It's not in the top 10. I don't think it's in the top 15.
Do you think it's a shitty dangerous job? Jobs.
It's a shitty job.
Because of what they do to it, it's a shitty job.
A lot
job.
Of it, yeah.
I mean, because...
And if you take away, which we're trying to do with this police reform, you take away a lot of the shit that they shouldn't be going to...
Yeah. Yeah.
That they should not be dealing with, that other departments in the government should be dealing with.
Yes. More enlightened people that maybe don't lose their fucking shit.
And stop this revenue generation bullshit.
Yeah.
Stop. It foments the us versus them. If you see a cop, you've done nothing. You're driving down the street. You see a cop behind you. You're like, oh, shit.
Right. Right.
Not, oh, great, we're being protected here.
Yeah.
My society is protected.
Shit.
I'm so happy. No, you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. And this person has this cop has the same feeling when she goes to the drive-thru. She is so, this lady understand how paranoid people are of the cops? And she's worried that people working in McDonald's are going to poison her.
And if she's in this much need of therapy, what's her next stop going to be like?
Well, I don't know.
If she feels nervous, I'm nervous. I'm afraid.
Those people work at McDonald's.
That's the loopholes they've left them. If you saw that ridiculous bill that Tim Scott put out in the Senate, the Republican, that is basically like, you know, we're going to say that chokeholds should really not be recommended.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's good, Tim.
We're strongly not recommending chokeholds. They're not banning them.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, what do you think? Did you not watch the protests in the street, dude? That's not what we want. That's not what people want.
He's
people
a Republican.
Want real shit.
He's a black Republican, which is just.
Yeah. And you know what, Mr. Republican? If you don't give people what they want, they will come back in the streets and they will get what they fucking want. That's what we're learning.
I've been in this for 15 years, and I've never, ever had such anxiety about waiting for McDonald's drive-thru food. So just have a heart, and if you see an officer, just tell them thank you. Because I don't hear thank you enough anymore.
Okay. Well.
Oh.
God.
Maybe.
Damn.
Stop clubbing them.
Stop being such a snowflake. Is that what this is? Are we listening? Are we in the midst of, we're like dick deep in snowflakitude or some shit like that?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
you
really
sniveling little fucking asshole.
So she's trending.
No one cares about you.
Not a lot of, yeah. Not
no
a lot
one's
of concern. Well, people are concerned
you.
About her mental health.
I don't fucking care.
And well, I mean, in as much as she should not be out.
That's true.
Whether you care or not about her mental health.
Yeah.
She should not be out wielding a weapon of death,
a pistola,
and power against people.
Yeah, that is a.
And how many other cops
right.
put a shaved head and testicles on her, and a couple of years in Fallujah, dust in Muslims.
Yeah,
and you've got a crazy, a violent, crazy dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe the job of a police person is fucked up now. Well, it is, obviously, but
right, and that's why they should welcome the reform. I don't want her to have to sit there and have a breakdown about a fucking McMuffin.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. But it would be interesting, though, to see the source of her stress at work. It might surprise us. It might be because
the whole culture is toxic.
Yeah.
It's just toxic.
Her and her buddy are shaking some store on the corner down, and they're not paying her correctly. They're not paying her off or some shit like, although she doesn't even want to get, she goes out of her way to say, I'm not one of these bad cops that makes people give them shit.
Right.
We're supposed to believe that every time you do a mobile order, you don't want anybody paying for you.
But she's also...
She does.
On the other side of her mouth, talking about how horrible it is.
Yes.
Like, so many people buy me things. So many people offer to buy me food. I have to buy it myself on the mobile.
You know,
and then she's like, everybody hates
these
me.
Snowflake policemen. They what weapons do they have? They have a gun. They have that wooden
a bigger
bang.
Gun in the trunk.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Oh, what do they got? What do they got?
I don't know. Some of them have.
Do you got a rifle?
Guns.
Yeah. I mean, they have all these things, these tear gas, these all kinds of implements of torture. And that woman is afraid of us. She's afraid that the people at McDonald's are going to fuck her up with poison. She's walking around in a fucking tank, driving around in a, you know.
I saw the name of our representative here on a tweet. And
Matt Gaetz?
Yeah, it was a...
Is he fucking with Ron Perlman again?
No, it's a it's a poll.
Ooh, yes.
One of those polls that, you know, people do on their tweets.
That's right. Is it the kind of poll that someone might drive into if they've had a few too many?
No, it was a silly one that now I've lost it with the... You know, Twitter, the auto-scroll thing where you automatically update when people are trying to read a tweet.
And, oh, that sucks,
and you automatically
man.
Update, and then you have to go scrolling down to find the fucking tweet you're reading. It's not cool.
Why would they do that?
The boat is sinking. Their boat is sinking, and there is a life vest for only one. Who do you save? Four choices.
Okay.
Mike Pompeo.
No.
Jeff Sessions.
No.
Ted Cruz.
No.
Matt Gaetz.
I have to save one.
I would save the life vest.
Oh, got it. Am I on the boat too?
No, I think you have to save one of them.
Can I stab them all to death and then grab the life vest and go off myself?
You're getting a life vest.
Let the sharks eat them.
You're on a separate boat and watching their boat sink.
I have to save one of those people?
That's, I think, the point of the exercise.
You shoot the hostage.
Matt Gaetz, Ted Cruz, Jeff Sessions, or God. Mike Pompeo.
Oh, God, what a horrible fucking... Damn, somebody drew the short straw at the orgy. I mean, God. Who's the lucky Pierre in that group?
God, I really...
How horrible.
I'm struggling with that one myself.
Well, who do you save? Who do you save?
I guess maybe Sessions. He's the oldest. He's like 70.
He's in the Klan.
Yeah, but he's... I think he's the least effective.
Matt Gaetz, listen to this.
Matt Gaetz is young and has a long career of fuckitude ahead of him, maybe.
That's true.
Ted Cruz is just
a piece of shit.
Yeah, unctuous.
Yes. He's a vomit.
And Pompeo.
But he's an Opus Dei wacko.
Yeah, I couldn't. No, he's a evangelical.
Oh, God, that's right. Bill Barr.
Pentecostal.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I think
Mike Pompeo is Pentecostal.
I think I'm tossing the life vest to Jeff Sessions.
Oh my
God! A virulent racist, but so is Pompeo. So is Gaetz.
I'm saving Ted Cruz. I swear to God.
Why?
Because Matt Gaetz is vile.
Concur.
He's
I didn't
a
save
vile
him.
Garbage man. He's a dick, and nobody likes him.
Correct.
Okay, so. Pompeo is evil. I mean, he's from the CIA. He's a torture guy.
He's into
the whacked out. He's a fucking Pentecostal dude.
I'm with you on the bottom two that I would absolutely not vote
Who
for.
Who else? It was Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions and Ted Cruz.
Jeff Sessions, like, jacks off the segregationist.
But he's old. Ted Cruz is like
50.
Oh,
he'll be dead soon. That's right.
That's a factor that I was.
So you save him because he'll be dead soon.
Yeah, and I think his future in politics, you know, he may become a senator again, but that's
he's never going anywhere
else. Ted Cruz still wants to be president.
This white supremacist, Jeff Sessions, has managed to hang around in government, no pun intended, for how long?
And the name Ted Cruz was mentioned as possible SCOTUS picks.
What?
When they were listing
Ted Cruz?
Yes.
In the Supreme Court?
Sure.
Oh, God.
And Mike Lee.
Oh, God. Ted Cruz?
There you go.
Jesus. I thought Obama was supposed to be on the SCOTUS when Hillary got elected.
So 3,300 people have voted on this tweet. And but we can't see the results unless we vote. So who was crab diving voting for?
I think you have to go with Jeff Sessions.
Okay.
Because how old is Ted Cruz? He's like in his
60s.
50s. God, Ted, that's so sad for the planet.
Early 50s, I think.
Oh,
or
God,
late 40s.
Even more sad. Jeez. Oh, that's right. He's young. He plays video
games. Matt Gaetz is by far the youngest, but possibly the one I would least consider to toss the life.
I mean, did.
Okay, we're voting Sessions. 73% vote Sessions.
Wow, it's the age thing, obviously, because there's nothing.
The least is Matt Gaetz. Everybody hates Matt Gaetz, the biggest.
They hate him. They hate him.
Pompeo and Cruz with 10 and 11% each. And then 73.9% Jeff Sessions.
Oh, my God.
Would be saved.
Right.
In that. There you go.
God, I hope this country.
Interesting.
Figures itself out and turns things around before one day we wake up and, like, Matt Gaetz is the Speaker of the House. That won't happen, right? We'll wake up, we'll smarten up. We're not going to wake up to that one day, right?
We're hoping no.
And we could do better than that. I mean, listen, I know this police.
The bar is really fucking low now after these three and a half years.
I'm listening to this cop. Even that. The thing that's crazy to me, she meant to post that on social media.
Yeah, she filmed it. And she put it on her Facebook.
She said that she's worried that the people at the McDonald's, and then she gives a location.
I can't see them making it.
Does she actually say she's worried they're going to poison it? Or
I can't see them making it.
That's what she says.
She's nervous, yeah.
After she gives a look, I mean, that's crazy. That's like a cop is suggesting nefarious stuff is going on in food prep at a very specific McDonald's. At a McDonald's, at the Love's truck stop somewhere.
Right.
That is a crazy thing for a cop to say. And very irresponsible. Like, yeah. What's up?
I saw a tweet by a journalist that I follow and look at all the time. Box. Aaron Rupar. He tweeted, "Holy shit." This is from the Bolton book story.
Okay.
Bolton attributes a litany of shocking statements to the president. Trump said invading Venezuela would be, quote, cool.
we don't know the context.
And that the South American nation was, quote, really part of the United States.
Venezuela? We don't even border
Bolton
Venezuela.
Said Trump kept confusing the current and former presidents of Afghanistan while asking Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to help him strike a deal with Iran. He kept forgetting the name of the president. Trump told Xi that Americans were clamoring for him to change constitutional rules to serve more than two terms.
Oh, my God. He told Xi that.
Hey, I saw what you did with that president for life thing. You know, there's a lot of people asking me to change the Constitution so I can serve a lot more than two.
You know, it's crazy because we think about this wrong. We've been thinking about this not in the right way, because my thing is always like, what's Biden's plan when Trump doesn't want to leave? What's the plan to get him out of there?
There are plans being made, though.
if that is the case, then the inverse is also possible and likely, that Trump is making plans to not leave. And his sycophants are making plans to keep him there. So what are those plans?
But that's
what are we
be,
contending with?
That's got to be a small group.
We're getting into an area where we're underestimating how crazy
they are.
Well,
with no power.
Okay.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is done with him.
Yeah.
The generals are done right. with him. I'm not worried about... He's got the Secretary of Defense. Sounds like none of them want... Even Esper slithered
yeah,
away.
Yeah, that's true.
From Trump, when Trump was like, I want the troops in Minneapolis.
Yeah, right. Well, he's got Jared. He's got Jarvanka. The Jarvanka machine behind him.
Bolton also describes a summer 2019 meeting in New Jersey where Trump says journalists should be jailed so they have to divulge their sources. Quote, these people should be executed. They are scumbags, Trump said, according to Bolton's account. These are journalists.
He is crazy.
Should be executed.
He is crazy. He's like Elvis crazy sitting in a chair shooting at a television because images of Phil and the, who is it? Who would come on TV and then Elvis would shoot it because they were interested in the same woman? We did.
Oh,
Broadway guy. He's dead. He recently died. Very sad. He was in South Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll think of it. But anyway,
somebody tweet us if you can. Do you have any thoughts as to who that might be? That's how crazy he is, though.
Well, right.
This is a nutball. What kind of world leader suggests to another world leader, here's what you need to do. Here's my quick fix is just looking at things. More concentration camps, and then tell everybody you're gonna be president for life. Do those two things. That's my suggestion to you. The president of the United States said that. That is totally fucking crazy. So that means he wants that. If he's telling G that means that's his plan.
Right.
That should be a wake-up call. Yeah, I don't know. We couldn't be more awake.
Here's a clip of our president.
Jesus Christ. I mean, we played clips from yesterday's...
Robert Goulet.
Good job.
Robert Goulet.
Did you just think of that?
Yes.
Okay.
It took a while. It was like on the tip of my tongue. I was like,
right.
I was hearing him singing, oh, what a beautiful morning.
Yeah, we could not recall Liberace or Robert Goulet today. That's a sad,
both of our times.
Old white crooners.
Fox News cut away from Trump's speech.
Uh-oh. God, that's terrifying.
To show Biden eviscerating Trump's coronavirus response.
Oh, shit. So that's better TV then. That's something.
Trump's failure to fight the coronavirus with the same energy and focus that he uses to troll his enemies on Twitter. It's cost us lives and is putting hope for an economic recovery at risk. Job numbers and retail sales were better than expected in May. And that's great news for the country. But now Donald Trump's desire to declare victory and be done with it is only going to imperil the continued progress we have to make. Our economy is still sputtering with more than 20.
You know, he doesn't pause and say sputtering bigly. Yeah. It's never been bigger before.
Right. It's weird. It's his mind isn't wandering to things like, you know, G should get more concentration camps and I like Ivanka's legs and I want a hot dog.
That's kind of amazing that they were showing Trump's speech.
Yeah, that is something else.
To Biden shitting on him about his bungled coronavirus response.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Like, just looking at the news, it's obvious Biden is leading in the polls, right?
By bigly, yeah.
By a lot. Do you realize there are these Bernie bros still on the book of face just saying they're going to vote for Biden and it won't do any good because he's probably going to lose anyway? Where do you get that from?
Trump.
They just think
they're dumb, yeah.
God.
to help veterans get the care they need when they need it. We approved Veterans Choice and made it permanent. And that was a big deal. They've been trying to get it for decades and decades and decades.
He keeps doing this.
Right.
2014.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
when Veterans Choice was signed into law by a guy with a little bit more melanin in yes. his hands.
Oh, okay.
Than Trump has.
Right, right.
He so, keeps taking credit for.
But that's obvious.
Veterans Choice.
But people know. People know. They hear Trump say that and they're like, "This. Why is he lying to us? Is that what the deplorables think?"
No, the deplorables are like, "Yeah, look at how they're he helped squirting. The veterans." Right.
They need it. We approved Veterans Choice and made it permanent. And that was a big deal. They've been trying to get it for decades and decades and decades. And we got it. We got it done.
Yeah, in 2014.
Basically, that means if you have a problem and you can't get to a doctor, it doesn't work, you end up going outside, you get your doctor, we pay the bill, and they get immediate service. Some of the veterans were forced in past administrations for a long time, beyond the Obama administration even, but for a long time, they
were. Mostly Obama, though.
Jesus Christ.
Mostly the Obama administration.
When a guy like this, he sounds like he is just slathered in lore tabs, is saying, we got it done.
Here, Aaron Ruppart tweets this next clip where Trump is talking about veteran suicides.
Oh, God.
You know he's going to, this is his wheelhouse. He's quite the empath. Here, this Aaron Ruppart says, Trump offers quite a word salad on veteran suicides.
Okay.
Today we're unveiling our roadmap to empower veterans and end the national tragedy of suicide. Tremendous problem. Tremendous, tremendous problem. My administration is marshaling every resource to stop the crisis of veteran suicide and protect our nation's most treasured heroes. They've been through so much.
Here's where, you know, treasured heroes.
Yeah.
That little pause there is him looking up, and here's where he goes off.
Well, wait, I mean, here's where he goes off script. But he's speaking from the heart about veteran suicide, and
he's speaking from a piece of paper with like 80 point font on it so he can read it without wearing old man glasses.
Tremendous or decade written in a speech. Why does he say it 17 times?
Because that's he's got to repeat it.
God. Treasured heroes. They've been through so much, and it's such a deep-seated problem. And we're doing tremendous research and everything you can do. But it is something that nobody quite understands, and they're gaining knowledge, but they don't quite understand it.
I'm sorry, it's not a funny subject.
This is
our fucking president.
He is. Do you think it's possible that he lost his train of thought and actually was thinking about like Ivanka Stives or something and just wandered off the subject of veteran suicide? I'm serious. It's very strange.
We're talking.
He
to
doesn't
people.
Want to talk about this anymore. Yeah,
we're doing it. We're doing so
we're doing
much
tremendous research, and nobody knows why.
Everyone's doing everything.
Everyone's doing great.
What he said earlier, too, is crazy. He's like, we bring them services when they need it, so they get it when they need it. Good. He's nuts. He's definitely on. I mean, he's fucking. They must pill this motherfucker up because it must be a calibration thing, right? Because sometimes Trump goes out there and he's screaming about hydroxychloroquine. Or he's bitching about Obama, or he's complaining about some guy he fucking hates, or it's this.
Right.
I think they need to shoot for something in between that might come off as a little less crazy. So I would say less lore tab and maybe dial up the Adderall a little bit. I don't know.
Faithless Friday is coming up, everybody.
Jeebus.
This is worth noting, though.
Yeah. Is he on ketamine?
Who, Trump?
Yeah, I mean, sounds so spacey, man.
This is, I don't think we played this guy before.
Right.
This is Richard Land, who is the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Nine! That sounds creepy.
I don't know where that...
The Southern Evangelical Seminary!
I don't know where that may be. Let's look it up here.
It's the
Christian College in Matthews, North Carolina.
Hell yeah, motherfucker!
Near Charlotte.
Fuck you.
And here is Richard Land, their current president.
Jesus.
Speaking up.
Oh, what a charlatan. He's in charge of one of these religious universities?
Yes.
Ha 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 ha.
He, in the past, in 2012.
Okay.
This guy had a daily radio program.
Oh, fuck him.
And he got fired.
Right.
At the Southern Baptist Convention's top ethicist, Richard Land,
good God.
Major religious figure, was fired.
That is a
after
huge
accusing
thing.
African-American, quote, race hustlers of using Trayvon Martin's death to, quote, gin up the black vote for Obama.
God, you know, sometimes these old white guys couldn't sound more racist. I mean...
Well, here he is yesterday.
Yes.
Now he's president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Hell yeah!
Opining about these Confederate monuments.
Oh, my fucking God.
And the military bases named after Confederate.
What the fuck?
I think that it's time for Confederate memorials to come down and for them to be relocated in museums. Where we can study them in the context of history.
What?
And I think the names of these 10 army bases in the South that are named after Confederate generals need to be renamed.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
That is weird. I didn't expect this. I expected some other shit.
And let me explain why. These men, these Confederate generals, swore an oath of allegiance to the Confederacy. They took up arms in order to overthrow the government of the United States, whose army bases these are.
Yeah, I don't understand that all, to be honest with you. How did this get, slipped past?
And it's a civil war,
How do we end up with army base? There's no army base in Germany called, you know, Himmler, Camp Himmler.
You know, and lots of people died, and there was slavery.
Right.
It's like, why is this being celebrated? Why is any aspect of the Civil War being celebrated? So, we were killing each other.
Richard Land, amazingly.
Yeah.
Coming out on the right side there.
Jeez.
On the other side of the coin.
On this Confederacy white supremacist trophy shit.
Outraged by Aunt Jemima Gate.
Oh, my God.
Apparently. Where the company has decided to retire the Aunt Jemima brand and symbol and replace it with something slightly less racisty.
I mean, I think you could just pick about anything and it would be less racist.
Aunt Jemima was not a real person.
Okay.
It's not like commemorating.
Well, wait.
It's not like it's Rosa Parks syrup.
Well,
it's
okay.
Aunt Jemima was a fictional character.
Right.
That was created for marketing purposes.
Yeah, and I just don't want to let this slip because I think this is the most underappreciated moment in political history is when Rick Perry made out with the syrup bottle.
There you go. That was not an Aunt Jemima bottle, though.
It was not. What was the brand?
It was some local
fancy
syrup, right?
Oh, okay. That was crazy, though, right? I mean, that was truly bananas.
Ringing in on the Aunt Jemima controversy.
Yes.
None other than Brendan Dilley.
Oh, God.
They canceled Aunt Jemima. Now, fun thing, okay? This is actually pretty interesting. They are canceling everybody from black culture. And it's really sad because people don't realize...
She never existed.
You're not canceling her from black culture.
This is like... He's wearing a Q hat, by the way.
Oh, God,
I'm sure he's going to come up... Or this is an offshoot of the Gone with the Wind thing where it's like... They're canceling black culture because Hattie McDaniel was the first black person to win an Oscar.
You're talking about a syrup company that's been around for how long? Aunt Jemima, and again, I had no fucking idea forever, right?
BT Dubs, again, at the 1939 or 1940, whenever the fuck it was, Oscars.
Yes.
It was 39 movies, so it would have been in 1940 Oscars.
Right.
Hattie McDaniel was not allowed to sit in the main room at the table with her white co-actors.
Yeah.
She had to sit in the black section and, in the back when she won
right,
her first.
Right. And you know,
the first African-American
in that movie, they
acting Oscar.
There were slaves in that movie and seen through the eyes of their slave owners because Scarlett was the main character.
And they were treated very nicely.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Jeez. They even made a dress out of that fucking curtain for What's Her Face. Right. So Rhett Butler would fuck her. Is that the story?
Slightly useless in a childbirth situation.
Oh, that's right.
Butterfly McQueen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
her famous line. I don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
What does that say about our society? Okay, your first Oscar is for someone portraying a slave that is, I'm sorry, I don't think that was the relationship.
Kind of a mammy stereotype.
Yeah, I mean, God.
Dilly.
This is actually pretty interesting. They are canceling everybody from black culture. And it's really sad because people don't realize Aunt Jemima, the woman whose face was used for that, was a legit slave that was freed. She was an incredible cook. And America doesn't realize the woman that they used for the Aunt Jemima syrup bottle became one of the first ever millionaire African Americans in this country. And they canceled her today. Think about that. This is a significant portion of Black America's history, and they're removing it.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
The Democrats, once again, with their cultural Marxism, you didn't need to remove the Aunt Jemima brand. You just needed to put her story on the back of the boxes. That's all you needed to do. Explain who she was and why you used her face and her image. And instead, you canceled it altogether so that America would lose sight and forget this courageous, brave, brilliant, successful black woman. But that's the left in 2020. This is what they continue to do. Absolutely disgusting.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Trump, there are people in the EPA that they think they want mass extinctions to happen. I think they don't care about the environment. They're ruining our government. And I don't know. I mean, I think we can be okay with not having Aunt Jemima anymore.
In 1889, Charles Rutt,
yeah,
a Missouri newspaper editor, and Charles G. Underwood, a mill owner,
okay,
developed the idea of self-rising flour that only needed water. He called it Aunt Jemima's recipe. Rutt borrowed the Aunt Jemima name from a popular vaudeville song that he heard performed by a team of minstrel performers.
Okay, and these people were in blackface.
Yes, the okay. Minstrels included a skit with a Southern mammy. Rutt decided to use the name and the image of the mammy-like Aunt Jemima to promote his new pancake mix. Unfortunately for him, he and his partner lacked the necessary capital to effectively promote and market the product. They sold the pancake recipe and the accompanying Aunt Jemima marketing idea to R.T. Davis Mill Company.
This is like saying Asian culture is Jerry Lewis doing that character in, what movie is that, Breakfast at Tiffany's? You know what I mean? So that the character that was used for this Aunt Jemima syrup and pancakes was a character derived from a vaudeville skit of people in blackface.
Minstrel, yes.
White people in blackface betraying black people.
Not well.
And, you know, I think we can cancel this.
The R.T. Davis Company improved the formula, and more importantly, they developed an advertising plan to use a real person to portray Aunt Jemima.
Okay.
The woman they found to serve as the live model was Nancy Green, who was born a slave in Kentucky in 1834. She impersonated Aunt Jemima until her death in 1923. Struggling with profits, R.T. Davis Company made the bold decision to risk their entire fortune and future on a promotional exhibit
at the 1893 World Exposition in Chicago, which was a fascinating event. I did a presentation on
The World's Fair.
Point, it was the World's Expo.
Okay.
In 1893 was amazing.
Did they have fucked up shit there?
Yeah, and some really amazing shit that just got torn down.
Oh, like structures and buildings. Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
It was all like Greek, the Museum of Science and Industry and shit like that. Buildings like that all along the coast.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
That they ended up tearing down a number of them.
Well.
It said at the World's Fair, they constructed the world's largest flour barrel, 24 feet high, 12 feet across, standing near the basket. Nancy Green, then dressed as Aunt Jemima, sang songs, cooked pancakes, and told stories about the Old South, stories which presented the South as a happy place for blacks and whites alike.
She was
a huge success.
Right.
She had served tens of thousands of pancakes by the time the fair ended. Her success established her as a national celebrity. Her image was plastered on billboards nationwide with the caption, "Eyes in town, honey."
God, man.
Green, in her role as Aunt Jemima, made appearances at countless county fairs, flea markets, food shows, local grocery stores. By the turn of the century, Aunt Jemima, along with the Armour Meat Chef, were the two commercial symbols most trusted
by
American housewives.
Good God.
By 1910, more than 120 million Aunt Jemima breakfasts were being served annually. The popularity of Aunt Jemima inspired many giveaway mail premiums, blah, blah, blah.
I think we can cancel this culture, right? Can we cancel Aunt Jemima?
The company was renamed the Aunt Jemima Mills Company in 1914.
Okay.
Eventually sold to the Quaker Oats Company in 26.
Right.
In 1933, Anna Robinson, who weighed 350 pounds, became the second Aunt Jemima.
Okay.
She was much heavier and darker in complexion than was Nancy Green. The third Aunt Jemima was Edith Wilson, who's known primarily for playing the role of Aunt Jemima on radio and TV shows from 1948 to 1966.
So there was a different Aunt Jemima for the talkies and a different one for radio. I mean,
in recent years, Aunt Jemima has been given a makeover. Her skin is lighter and the handkerchief has been removed from her head. She now has the appearance of an attractive maid, not a Jim Crow era mammy.
Good Christ. I mean, number one, that is all horrible. There's nothing good. What is good about the Aunt Jemima story? That is positive for anyone.
Well, right. She became successful by portraying a stereotypical
character. And I'm glad that.
Well, yeah,
honestly,
and good for her making money.
Yeah, right in that little
space. What else
space,
could she do
her?
At that time? She was born in 1834. What else could... I'm not going to diss her for selling out and playing. That's all that was available at the time. Look at Hattie McDaniel.
Yeah.
Did they have a strong black businesswoman role available at all anywhere?
No. It's just, you know.
Fucking dilly.
I can't imagine the outrage at the Aunt Jemima thing is just insane.
A lot of squealing.
Tons, man. Horrible.
Shit that should have been done decades ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's a guy that I had no idea I was friends with this lunatic. And this guy he's been posting a lot of shit lately. And he replies often with a link to his podcast and then a link to his Patreon page. When people are good enough to comment on something on his timeline, he says the dumbest shit ever. And lately, what I've been enjoying doing to the dumb people is I don't even comment. I just do the ha-ha thing on all their shit that sounds
just
so,
laugh at it. Yeah.
That sounds so serious to them that it's dumb as fuck. And I did that to him, and he got mad and posted his Patreon link on my timeline.
Oh. Well, you didn't have to approve it.
No, I didn't. But I mean, but this guy today was going on and on about Aunt Jemima. And how we're a cancel culture. We can't erase our past.
Right, but we shouldn't venerate certain aspects of the past.
Aunt Jemima was bad.
The symbolism is bad.
It's not good.
Right.
It reinforces bad stereotypes.
Well, let's bring back minstrel shows. Why don't we?
It's part of our past.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Right. Some guy, some fucking guy that owned a mill and another rich person, another rich white guy, they're like, I'm going to steal a formula for the best pancakes ever. I'm going to put it on steroids. We're going to make a fuck ton of money. And they're going to do it using a spokesperson that used to be a slave. You know? Congratulations, culture. That's good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for buying shit through our Amazon portal. CrabDiving.com/Amazon.
Right.
Gallup poll Monday.
Oh, shit.
Measure of, quote, pride in America has reached its lowest point in 2 decades of polling.
Oh, shit. What happened?
Only 42% say they are, quote, extremely proud to be American, down from almost 70% in 2003 and 52% in 2016.
Yeah.
But even this issue is polarizing, with only 24% of Democrats saying extremely proud.
Right.
67% of Republicans say we're extremely proud of this country.
Most Republicans are saying they're proud of this country.
Republicans.
What are they most proud of?
A shrinking number.
The rampant COVID?
Don't forget, people identifying as Republicans are an increasingly plummeting number.
But they get coronavirus, right?
Get as in understand?
No. It's a pandemic. God, quit posting YouTube videos about that shit.
So there you go.
Proud.
There's Max Boot, who's in the past was a right-wing dickbag nut job.
Yeah.
But has been a never Trumper and is now the enemy of our enemy.
Right.
He wrote, Trump promised national pride. A new poll proves he's delivered national shame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine our president's hanging out with Xi, and he's like, you know, Xi, you should really go forward with those concentration camps.
You buy some soybeans from some of these assholes in Iowa, it'll help me.
How does he know? How does this guy, it seems like Trump knows absolutely nothing about anything. He looks at the country.
All he cares about is how can you help me?
Welcome to the vegetable aisle.
How can you help me? And he knows enough to know that if he can get these big deals, that these farmers will vote for him. He thinks. That's all he cares about is being reelected.
He's been bad to farmers, though.
And then trying to change the Constitution.
But like historically bad to farmers.
Right. This was on Morning Joe. This is kind of great.
Oh yeah. Is it Scarborough yelling at Trump?
No, this is a cut.
Yes.
Well, here, I'm just going to play it.
Right.
President Obama and Vice President Biden never even tried to fix this during their 8-year period.
He's talking about criminal justice and police reform.
President Obama and Vice President Biden never even tried to fix this during their 8-year period.
I've instructed Attorney General Holder to work with cities across the country to help build better relations between communities and law enforcement.
Never even tried to fix this.
And you know
that means
crazy,
working
dude?
With law enforcement officials to make sure their ranks are representative of the communities they serve.
Yeah. Obama is talking about the audit Eric Holder did on Ferguson, Missouri.
Sure.
And you know what the thing is, man? You could go on the internet and download the PDF of that report,
right,
and you can fucking read it.
It's not good.
No, but it says solutions. You can even find the solutions. It says the problem is we got to reduce. We don't need this over policing.
And same with Camden, which now is doing really well. After they were on one of those.
And they took Holder's report to heart.
Yeah. Well, they had to.
Mm-hmm. Law enforcement officials to make sure their ranks are representative of the communities they serve.
They had no idea how to do it.
It means working to train officials so that law enforcement conducts itself in a way that is fair to everybody.
Never even tried to fix this.
Now, we've launched a police data initiative that's helping Camden and other innovative cities use data to strengthen their work and hold themselves accountable by sharing it with the public.
They had no idea how to do it.
I'm going to be proposing some new community policing initiatives, including up to 50,000 additional body-worn cameras for law enforcement agencies.
Meanwhile, all this shit Trump got rid of.
Yeah, with Sessions,
all
right?
All of these initiatives that Obama was talking about, and Jeff Sessions and Trump got rid of, first thing.
Because the way I understand it, Holder did this report, right, and it's sort of the idea that Ferguson's police department wasn't just a few bad apples. That wasn't the issue. It was they needed
systemic. Sure,
yeah, they need a fuck ton of reform. And then he wrote a report.
Yes.
Okay.
No idea how to do it.
I'm going to be proposing some new community policing initiatives, including up to 50,000 additional body-worn cameras for law enforcement agencies.
President Obama and Vice President Biden never even tried to fix this.
Today, we're also releasing new policies on the military-style equipment that the federal government has in the past provided to state and local law enforcement agencies. We're going to prohibit some equipment made for the battlefield that is not appropriate for local police departments.
Yes.
And Trump,
fuck yes,
utterly reversed that.
Don't. That's so crazy.
We're
going
to get our best equipment into the hands of those that need it.
Nuts. I mean, but it's crazy because it's a how is he saying that? I can actually Google this report and I can find it. I can find it in under 5 minutes on the fucking internet, and I can read you the plan. I mean, there's an actual plan. Like, if you were president or a mayor or a governor, and you're like, I need to do something to fix your hire your toady, you call your toady up here, and you throw that, you take this PDF, you print it out, and you throw it in the motherfucker's face, and you say, do all these things.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Before Donald Trump comes to Tulsa, remember what real leaders sound like.
Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice.
Too often we honor swagger and bluster and the wielders of force. Too often we excuse those who are willing to build their own lives on the shattered dreams of other human beings.
Now those who divide speak.
And I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation...
It's George Wallace, by the way.
Segregation forever.
I agree that looters ought to be shot, yes. On sight, on sight. The Negro and white citizen of this state are against the breakdown of law and order.
You have to dominate the streets, please.
The Negro and white citizens of this state are against the breakdown of law and order. That's George Wallace of... Alabama, you know,
it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Just think about all the racism this country is built upon. And Colin Kaepernick takes a knee and does something. It doesn't even disrupt this stupid, needless bullshit NFL that doesn't fucking matter one fucking bit in this universe. He didn't even disrupt their precious football game. And why? Why did it bother them so much? The owners and the president.
Because Trump used it as a...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It is a rallying cry.
Yeah.
It's a breakdown of law and order.
You have to dominate the streets. Please don't be too nice. Very fine people on both sides.
When you hear leaders speak, you know who they are, who they represent, and what kind of America they'll create. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Shit.
George Conway.
Damn.
Steve Schmidt.
Right. Do you think they audition pianists for this? Or they like Steve Smith and all those guys who are in a room? They're like, all right, come on, play us 32 bars of
that
something.
Was last night. Here's today. I haven't heard this one.
Yes.
Or seen this one.
Donald Trump is playing pretend again, saying he's the one to take on China. They can't wait. They know who Donald Trump is. Weak, corrupt, ridiculed. China beats him every time. No matter what he says, China's got his number. Trump even begged Chinese leader Xi to help him win re-election. Like a dog. Trade negotiations? China won. Trump's tariffs? They laughed as Trump hit American families with higher...
By the way, some international ranking of trade, we've dropped to 10th because of his... 100% because of his tariffs.
We've dropped to the 10th position.
Yeah.
Well, maybe those tariffs were a mistake.
Do you think?
Who's the voiceover artist?
They laughed as Trump hit American families with higher taxes. Trump's trade war, farms and small businesses went bankrupt. China's military expanding without American leadership in the region. President Xi, Trump rolls over for China's president every time. Is it Ivanka's secret deals in China? Is it the $250 million debt Trump owed the Bank of China? It doesn't matter, because when it comes to Trump, China can't lose. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Damn. Oh, shit.
There
you go. Think that pisses him off, Schittler?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That bothers him on a personal level.
He hates this shit.
Okay, well.
Especially when they're so popular and trending.
I'm sorry, but that cop waiting at McDonald's for fucking food, man. I ordered an English McMuffin. Fucking.
I'm still waiting. And I can't see them make it.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I think they're putting poison and cum in my burger.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And my muffin.
Lots of cum. Do you realize that if you do a U-turn in Los Angeles, the ticket is like $300 fucking dollars? $300.
And they treat you like you've just raped a grandmother.
Oh yeah, I know. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're pulled over and treated like you are
a
violent criminal by some of these assholes. Yeah.
Yeah, they talk to you like you're a fucking dickhead.
Cause they are.
Oh, okay.
Profound dickheads.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Holy cow, look at the time flying.
Oh fuck.
Oh, they're charging Danny Masterson, actor from the 70s show with raping three different women.
Oh, my God. Oh, that dude with the curly hair.
That story's been going on a long time, and allegedly Scientology has been working, using all their evil powers to try to cover it up and
why
and smear the victims and things like that.
So his celebrity status continues?
I guess.
Jeez.
These are nearly 20-year-old allegations or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
He's claiming total innocence, though.
Right, right. He's just going to escape on a ship. What level is he? Is he a Thetan 54? Or?
I don't know. He's up there.
I am Zulaman.
Pretty sure he's up there.
Yeah.
Charged with three counts of rape by force or fear.
Oh, God.
In separate incidents occurring between 2001 and 2003, a warrant was filed for his arrest. Yesterday.
What an asshole.
He's accused of raping a 23-year-old woman between January and December 2001. In April 2003, he allegedly raped a 28-year-old woman. Sometime between October and December of that year, he is also accused of raping.
2003.
He's also accused of raping a 23-year-old woman he had invited to his Hollywood Hills home.
So these victims are living with this 20-some-odd years, and finally maybe this guy is getting in trouble for it.
L.A. County District Attorney's Office declined to file a charges against him in two other cases, one for insufficient evidence and the other based on the statute of limitations.
Oh, okay.
He's facing a possible maximum sentence of 45 years to life.
Damn!
In state prison.
Oh, shit!
That 70s show.
Yeah, yeah, boy. Where are they now, right? He'll be in jail. Mila Kunis is married to...
That's been going on for so long, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that story has been known for a long... I mean, kind of it happened.
But how does something like that
somehow
the
Church
along,
of Scientology,
you know,
has a lot of money and a lot of power.
So they have lawyers that can file things and motions and just kick the can down the road.
And maybe goons that go and threaten the victims or shit like that, or witnesses or whatever.
Who is the biggest Scientologist right now? Is it Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Is he in charge of Scientology?
No, David Miscavige is the leader, and he is by all reports a cartoonishly evil.
Who? What's his name?
Miscavige? M-I-S-C-A-V-I-G-A.
You remember in Los Angeles, you go to, what was that theater near the creepy Scientology place? Upright Citizens Brigade,
UCB.
Right? Yeah, and but
Birds.
Oh yes. Oh, I love that bar. Great little area up there. And you're driving around for parking. You were circling this creepy fucking building.
With private security and creepos.
Oh, yes.
On bikes and stuff that are the Scientology's.
Oh yeah, you're parking.
That's where I shot that movie that time in that
Oh, yeah.
In that Scientology.
You went inside
center.
That motherfucker.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, my God. Were you nervous?
Really fascinating. People are weird. I was really trying to keep an open mind, but everybody that worked there had this really Stepford-y smile.
They are
can
fucked
I help
up.
You with something? Yeah. Is there something I can help you with? I'm like, I'm shooting a movie here. Oh, you're on the 14th floor. I can help you with that. And like walked me to the elevator and pressed 14.
Oh, yeah. Fuck no, because you're not going to go to 12.
I was like, I can, you know, I know the number. I know how elevators work.
Right.
But just very, very creepy.
Very strange.
Yeah. And the hotel's really cool. And the whole.
It's a hotel for what? For anybody?
You can probably go stay at the Scientology Center, I think. But it's like a convention center. I don't know if it's open to the general public, but it's amazing. It's a really cool thing.
The building itself is cool.
Oh, yeah. And the restaurant. I had eaten at the restaurant once before, years prior.
I never did that. Like I didn't know brunch. That was available. I thought that was a private thing in that creepy fucking building.
That is open to the public. They have like a Sunday brunch and shit.
What is
like
it, like a cafeteria set up? Or?
It's like an outside kind of area.
Okay.
It was cool.
It's a cafe.
But it was, the movie took over the whole floor.
Yeah.
And there was in one of the rooms, there was just a pile of Dianetics books because
they had
to take the books off of all the
right
all the tables and everything.
Are you saying the art department was like, I did not envision 75 copies of Dianetics in the background of this film?
So there was a lot of that shit going on, but very strange.
Yeah, weird vibe. Weird shit.
So there you go, Scientology.
Yeah,
I was never in the big one on Venice Boulevard.
What's one that
one? Was across from, it was right across the street from, was it not Venice? Anyway.
Okay.
The one that's across the street from Santa Monica, from the main Kaiser Hospital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. That's the way to go. That's in Koreatown.
That's another.
It's very creepy.
Giant, creepy building.
Everyone's creepy there.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yay.
We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern. And we're always available as a podcast, your favorite app, and at crabdiving.com. Find out what Ryan's doing on the internet. Go to his website, radarcomedy.com, or go to his Instagram, his
doggy.
The Instagram, his Facebook, or his Twitter is at RatedRComedy.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter or Instagram at Vile Experience. Oh, so freaking Vile.
Great evening, everybody. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Wear your fucking mask.
Since when does your no mean yes?
Yes to a box of dildo.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving and on Twitter and Instagram @crabdiving.